Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, truly you are the Lord, the Most High God. We thank you. We honor you. We adore you. We praise you. We are in awe of you. We tremble at your word. We are humbled by your mercy. We are truly privileged to be called your children. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful price you paid. Thank you for your blood that has made a way for us today to stand before your presence. Thank you for the grace you have released upon these on this line and those that might not be here tonight. Father, you have promised that you are the one in Isaiah 62 who raises watchmen, who will not give you rest day and night until you make, O God, Jerusalem may praise, until you make, O God, that which you put in your heart come to pass, until your purposes, your plans, your promises are manifested, O God, in our lives, in our families, in the different areas you've caused us to trust you. Again, Father, I thank you for your grace upon your servants, your daughters and sons in this line. Thank you for the grace that have kept this altar upon which we stand for this past 4 years, O God. Day and night seeking you. Again, we are totally dependent on your spirit. We thank you, Holy Ghost, the spirit of truth, the one that teaches us, the one that guides us, the one that leads us into all truth and shows us things to come. Continue to open our understanding that we might truly know you, understand you, and be able to obey you fully to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody's line is beeping. I don't know. If you can mute your phone, that would be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll continue tonight. We are so thankful that we have this opportunity to fellowship together by the Spirit of God in the Word of God. We have the privilege to learn together as the Spirit of God is leading us. But most of the things that the Lord is sharing with us is more to encourage us, because we are already doing and serving in the capacities calling us. But these things are to encourage us, to edify us, to keep us refreshed, knowing we're on the right track, and also to help us dig deeper, believe for bigger things and greater things, and be willing, you know, not to give up in this privilege we have to pray. So thank you for your faithfulness. The nations, the life of nations, the life of people depend on this prayer. And thank you for your faithfulness. So we continue. There are three prayer points that is truly driving our passion for this season. And that is from the life of a man, Moses, who God has used so mightily in ministry and who God has led to do exploits in Egypt. And here he has experienced God in such magnitude, but still was praying for more understanding of God. And one of the prayers in Exodus 33, verse 12 down, he prayed in verse 13, he says, God, show me thy way, that I may know thee. And then, of course, he says, if your presence does not go with me, don't carry me further. And the third one, he says, show me thy glory. All these various prayer points the Lord is leading us on each of them. So today, again, we want to, again, look at one aspect we have started on aspects of God's character. But this is when he will show me thy way that I might know thee, means we're praying that God will teach us, show us his ways, so that we not only know him, but we know him to the extent that we are able to possess and obtain promises and breakthroughs in our lives. So tonight, I believe what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you is for me also. I just want to confess that it's something I'm growing in, something I'm learning, something I'm trying to also apply in my personal life. So I think we're going to learn together and by God's grace put this into practice together. But I believe this is one of the keys, understanding that truly makes, gives us undeniable victory, no matter the situation or the circumstance. So may the Lord help us. Now, one of the ways you can remember, or just to remember this particular direction, and if we don't finish, we can continue next week, is let's use the acronym, the word PUSH, P-U-S-H, PUSH. So PUSH, in this context of the scriptures I'm going to read to you, and the things we're going to look at in this area of obtaining breakthroughs and victories, is PUSH is pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. That's PUSH. So maybe that will help us remember this principle. The first scripture that I want to read is in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul was writing to Timothy, you know, just the scripture above just talks about the fruit of the Spirit, to follow after that, those fruit of the Spirit. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. He stood the first. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Then he continued. Then I want to read another scripture. That's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It was writing again, said that that we be not slothful or sluggish, but followers of them who through faith and patience, faith and patience, inherit. You see the word inherit the promises. Inherit the promises. That we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, that's long suffering, that's after he has manifested this fruit, his long suffering, after he has patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he has patiently endured, he manifested, he obtained the promise. Amen. That we be not sluggish, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured long suffering, he obtained, he manifested the promises. He manifested the promises. Amen. Now I want to read another scripture, and this is in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Then, colon there, it says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, that's Hebrews 4:3. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the earth. Now, I want to read another scripture again, just so we can just flow with time. This is Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 18. It says, known unto God are all, not some, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And then Hebrews says, although he has finished all his works from the foundation of the world. Amen. Okay, amen. Now, we're praying into God showing us his ways that we might know him. Because when you know somebody, you know their character, then it is more easy for you to really trust and believe them. Now, in Hebrews, we just read Hebrews 6, it says it is true faith, not just faith alone, which it says faith alone is dead, but true faith and patience, we obtain promises, is a principle. So here the writer, you know, the Hebrew writer is saying it's a principle. It is true faith and patience because it says it is through this process the fathers of faith obtain promises. And he gave an example of Abraham that God gave him promise, but he only manifested, obtained it after a season of time, after he has patiently endured. Amen. So there's something the Lord started showing me recently through this subject that is literally an amazing revolution of hope and expectation in the area of waiting. And when we were praying, we still prayed the scripture Isaiah 62, where it says that God is the one that put the burden on the heart of intercessors or watchmen, that they will not rest day and night until, you know, they pray until change come, until what God has promised come to pass, until breakthrough come. Okay, amen. Let's look at it from this, you know, with this, having read the scriptures, we have a God who has personally, you know, we have Old Testament people, they didn't have the Bible like we have as such, but we have the complete testimonies. But we have a God who has made a commitment and only confirmed it over and over with covenants and promises and testimonies. And then in Hebrews 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is God and is a rewarder, meaning is a rewarder of those who diligently, faithfully seek him. Meaning God is giving a promise because he cannot lie, because he's God. So he has sworn by his own self, and that's what the word of God is. The word of God means God has interposed on him because he can swear by no other. So his word is forever settled in heaven. God's word is God, is his character, is his nature. It can never falter, it can change, it cannot fail. So when God gave promises, now promises is like God saying, it's not just only giving a word, he's saying, I am making my word a promise to you. And he says, all my promises are yes, and they are unto in Christ are amen, meaning it is finished, it is done. And now Jesus on the cross, when he came and finished his assignment, on that cross again, he used the same word that the Bible used in Genesis, when it says God has finished all his work and rested on the seventh day. Jesus on that cross again came and said, it is finished. Meaning, if there was any error or the fall, whatever happened because of the Old Testament, Adam and all, Jesus came, he says, I have rectified. I have come and I have put back everything in place in me. It is done. It is finished. The work is finished. So known to God are all his works on the foundations of the earth. And this work is finished. So yes and amen are all the promises of God. God said, I've sworn by my word, my promises will never return void to me and stuff. So what does this mean? It means that the God, the creator of the universe, doesn't have to do much. The word of God is done everything. The word of God contains the finished work of God. He has the promises of God, the promise of God to the earth. And his order is finished. The work is done. Known to him from the foundations of the earth. So now, God is saying, in the New Testament after Jesus came, it will take faith for anybody to manifest this finished work into the visible world. God has given promises. Even in the Old Testament, there was a contention, a war. But now, he said from the days of John the Baptist to now, people fought into it. But now that Jesus came, he says, I have now come. I have defeated the devil. I have taken care of what sin did. I've taken care of every error of man. I have brought in a perfect finished work in me. And the words of the Lord is now settled. But now, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, meaning the finished work of God is settled. The word of God is settled. Whatever God has spoken is settled. Meaning God doesn't have to do another thing. He's already done it. Jesus cannot die again. He's finished. He cannot defeat the devil with his blood again. It's finished. Everything that caused man to fail, every loss that Adam did, Jesus has done, covered. He has taken care of it. It's done. So it's a finished work. But now in Hebrews he says there is a rest that God has provided for the children of God. Although this work has been finished, he said we should labor to come into that finished work, that rest that God has provided. So what does this mean? So I read a scripture that Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, 1 Timothy says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. So many words, so many statements we're making tonight. Let's see how the Lord puts it together. Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. So here, Paul is now making it very clear that faith alone cannot do anything, because the word of God comes by faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God, faith without works is dead, being alone. So what kind of faith is he talking about? And in Hebrews 6 says, is the faith that is married to patience, that enduring faith, that long-suffering faith, the nature, the characteristics of God's kind of faith. How do we walk in that God's kind of faith? How does that faith manifest promises? How does that faith work in the finished process of what God has done? Okay, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. So faith, Paul was separating a physical war from a spiritual war. And in the physical war, you fight with, you see what you're fighting with your two eyes. You fight with physical weapons. And you fight with a physical, you know, human strategies. And you fight with human armies. But then Paul is saying there's a different kind of fight. And is this fight, the victory is not the question. The victory is being given. The promise is being given. The victory has already been won. God is already given. The victory is already settled. God is, everything is already given.
is not to fight for victory, but is to fight to manifest that which is already been given. And it says it's a fight of faith. What does that mean? It says it's the kind of fight that you don't go by what you see in the physical. It's a fight that you take what you don't see to bring it into the realm of what you can see. In other words, the fight of faith is where it is not by your feelings or by your emotions, but it's a substance that you don't see. And then you begin to partner in prayer and through seeking God until you take what you don't see in the spirit that God has spoken. And then through prayer, you know, God speaks, which is faith. But then you take that which God has revealed or spoken, which is his promises or his word. You begin to partner with God in prayer until that thing is transitioned from the invisible world to the visible world. That's the fight of faith. Why is it the fight of faith? Because Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. And he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the fight of faith is, let me give an example so that we can now begin to look at this together, especially with you standing in the gap and praying, and we are reading all these promises in the Word of God. How does this work? Why is it that we need to be encouraged that we're on the right track? Why is it that God depends on such watchmen like you over the church to make things happen? Why is it that what you're believing for must happen? Is because the Word of God cannot change. The principle has never changed. So here, let's use a quick example. I've read the scripture over and over. We've shared it. We've had revelation. But the Word of God will keep, you cannot exhaust the wisdom and the revelation that just comes from one word forever. So here is a story Jesus told. And it's on the area of spiritual, the fight of faith, is the prayer of faith. The first one he gave is in Luke 18 about a widow woman and a wicked judge. The end of that story, Jesus says, the God, if he comes, will he find faith? It's not the faith you receive by hearing, but he gave an illustration what kind of faith he's talking about. The faith he's talking about is the enduring patience and the perseverance of a widow who was asking for something from a wicked judge. And the woman will not relent until the wicked judge gave that release the promise. And Jesus says the endurance of that woman, the perseverance of that woman was a fight of faith, you know, and then the woman obtained from a wicked judge. He said, when God comes, will he find faith? So now let's look at another story that he gave that makes this clearer. And it's in the book, the same Luke chapter 11, when Jesus was asked to teach us how to pray. And then Jesus told them the Lord's Prayer and then gave this popular illustration we've been using about a friend who came to, who was hungry, came at midnight looking for food and there was no food. But his friend realized that there's a place where he can get bread. So he went to his friend and started knocking on the door for bread. He was knocking, knocking, knocking. And you all know the story. There was an exchange. I can't come up and give you. My children are in bed. And then he kept knocking and kept knocking. Then later, the door opened. And he gave him so many bread. And Jesus says, he did not give him bread because he's his friend, but because of his perseverance, because of his enduring waiting, because of his persevering, his importunity. So what does that mean? You know, we read that, we say, what does that mean? Again, Hebrews 6:12 says, it is through faith and patience we obtain promises. So in that story, the friend at midnight, looking at all these things we're talking about, the friend at midnight, Jesus is saying, here is somebody that needs bread. There is bread in that house. He knows there's bread there. And he needs that bread. So he goes to knock to obtain that bread. He goes and he hears that he cannot get the bread. It's too late. It's not going to happen. Okay, this situation is late. The need you are looking for is late. Maybe they say it's a late cancer, or it's a late this, or money late, or whatever it is, it's impossible. It's late. You can't have it. It's late. Jesus says it's late, it's impossible, you're not going to have it. That thing has spoken his condition. He's telling you exactly this is the situation, it's not going to happen. But Jesus says, as long as there is bread there, as long as that man knows there is a substance, there is bread there, he says the condition for receiving that bread was not based on what he hears physically, whether it's late, whether it's dead, whether it's sick, whether it's poverty, whatever it is, he says it's not based on the circumstance. He says the breakthrough came through P-U-S-H, push until something happens, which is time in waiting, patience, endurance, the testing and the trying of faith. So what does that mean spiritually? Another example I'll give, and then we'll begin by God, just put this together. The Lord is showing again, like if you are digging for a well, a physical well. A physical well, when somebody goes to dig for a well, the person goes with intention there's water on the ground. We know without a doubt there's water underneath. So the person goes and starts digging this well, like Isaac or Abraham start digging the well. The digging of the well is only on one reason alone, that you know that you know that you know there is water there. So you don't dig when there is no water. That brother is not knocking because there is no bread. He knows there is bread. And then the person digging well knows there is water. So what he's saying here, men should pray and not to faint. The person that is digging that well needs time. You don't just go and the well just opens. No, the well, the water is down somewhere. So that digging is the testing and the enduring patience of you digging and digging and digging with one thing in mind, there's water there. So you don't stop digging until you get to water. You don't stop digging until you get to water. So this little explanation Jesus gave about prayer, he says, if you pray, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it will open. If these principles are met, it will happen. This simple illustration is this. Using the well as an analogy and using that bread in that place analogy, God said, without this faith, it's impossible to receive from heaven, to please God. What is it? It says, he that comes to God must know that he is God. See, what he's saying here again is what, like I shared in the beginning, God has finished his work. And in to establish the finished work, he gave it to us in the form of a promise. Like he did to Abraham. Say, I could swear by no other, so I swore by myself, my throne. I am God, and I vow with my own character. So God is saying, I have given you my promise, and it's finished. So when you come to me as the creator of the universe, the maker of God, of the world, he's saying, you are coming to, or you're taking the word of somebody that is forever finished. That word doesn't have to, in other words, you don't have to, Jesus don't have to die for somebody to be healed again. He doesn't have to die for us to be rich. He doesn't have to do anything for us. Nothing. He's finished it. And so God gave us. So the only people who are able to receive the finished work are those people whose faith in seeking or asking or knocking are tested with patience. And they endure the waiting process until that thing that God has finished is released into the physical realm. And that's what the trying of our faith. James says, that's why our faith are tested by circumstances. Our faith are tested by situation. What is test? Every situation that we go through, God is saying, is there a promise I've given in that area? Then if there's a promise, what is the test? The test is to see how much can you endure to see that thing come to pass, or to see that victory in that area, or to manifest my covenant in that area. In other words, God can never change again. The word of God is the same yesterday. The word of God is the same forever. But now, faith, when the Bible says now, faith simply means the only people that reveal the reality of God are those who now are able to bring the promises into physical realm. See, many times it is easy for us to believe for what God did in the past. If you look at it, we talk about the past, the great things God did with our fathers. And then we talk about the future, the things that God will do. But then we bypass the current situation. And so, and we're talking about the past and the future. So the Hebrews said, now faith is the substance, meaning faith is not about what happened yesterday, because God never changed. It's not about tomorrow. God will never change. It's what do you do now to prove that that word that is real yesterday, that will be real forever, is real today. And that's what faith is tested. And Jesus says, if I look in the earth, can I find somebody who is willing to prove that the word of God has never changed? God will never change, and his promises will never change. See, the power of the prayer of enduring patience, waiting on God, is the prayer or the expectation that has the only ability to change every situation. Every physical situation that we see with our physical eyes, every condition we can feel and see are subject to change. The only thing that cannot change is the word of God. So God is saying every circumstance can change if somebody believes on the word of God. Circumstances cannot change God. So God cannot change. We are the only ones circumstances change. So God says, if I find somebody who believes my word now, not yesterday or tomorrow, they will change the circumstance. So then God raises intercessors or watchmen, and he uses the principle push. I'll put a burden in their heart to believe my promise, to believe my vision, to believe my word, and they will watch it. They will watch over that word. They will watch it like watchmen. In other words, they will pray and believe it until that promise comes to pass. Then God becomes real to that generation. That's what faith does. And God said, without it, it is impossible to say you are really pleasing God. Because when you come to God and you don't believe that God's word can change circumstances, it means that God's word is not true. And it means that God doesn't have the capacity to change the unchangeable situations. So that's why no condition in this world is permanent. Only God is permanent. No situation you're going through is permanent. Only the word of God is permanent. So every circumstance can be changed by the prayer of faith. And that's why God raises intercessors, people who refuse to leave the altar of prayer until they change situations. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Why is the word fight? Because it's a war. The situation is saying, no bread, it's too late. But the faith man is saying, I am not leaving this place until that bread comes through. Because you know that you know there's bread there. So the fight is, he said, no bread. He said, no, I'm not leaving. There's bread there. No, my children are sleeping. It's too late. No, I refuse. So you keep fighting. Paul said to Timothy, it's a fight. In other words, it's a fight of what you see today. Is it sickness? Is it barrenness? Is it marriage? What is the situation you see and feel? God says, fight, use the word of God, stand with the promise of God, and keep fighting until the situation changes. And that's what they call you obtain the promise. Abraham patiently endured. And the Bible says, the word endured means you change, the circumstances change eventually. It changes. No matter how long. Jesus says, pray and don't faint. If you don't faint, it will, in other words, if you don't quit, it will come to pass. So time is the quality that determines your faith. Because all our testing and trials are determined by time. So if, for example, you're believing God for something, and then the thing takes a week, you know, or something, that time that it took before you see that thing happen was God just tested the quality of your faith. If it takes 10 years, whatever, it's just testing the quality of your faith. What is the quality of faith? God is showing how much you have completely come in agreement with his word. And you refuse to leave the position of standing on his word diligently until the word of God changes the situation. That's what that kind of faith is. But just faith that comes by hearing alone does not change anything. It is the faith when we apply it in the waiting process and we're tested by what we see. What you see is telling you this is never going to happen. Abraham, your wife soon is dead. You waited for so long, now the womb is dead. What are you going to do? Lazarus is dead, 3 days stinking. But Jesus says that sickness is not unto death, it's for the glory of God. So Lazarus is in the grave now more than 3 days. So are you going to believe what God says, or are you going to believe the stinking situation? So what changed? The word God spoke caused a stinking dead person to come alive. So basically, we have enough testimony in the Bible to tell us God can change every situation, no matter how dead and stinking it is. And that's what God is looking for in the earth. And that's what our trials are calling for in our lives. And that's what intercessors are called to build an altar of prayer. And that's what we call it, the fight of faith. And our weapons are not carnal. We fight our weapons. Some of our powerful weapons in prayer is patience, is love, is meekness, submitting until things change. It's goodness. Even when your enemy is provoking you, you're still doing good to them while you're waiting for God to vindicate you. It is temperance. In the midst of this, somebody's trying to get you to get angry and speak out of order, and you're just holding your tongue. You know, the fruit of the Spirit arms you for victory. He arms you and puts you in a position where you are so much in agreement with God until the situation changes. That's why if you look through the Bible, every man in the Hebrews 11 story, their life was tested with time. And after you pass the test of time, eventually you start seeing instant manifestations. When God has found you faithful through seasons of waiting on this and waiting, and it's now your patience and your grace, all this love, all this character of God has manifested. Now that you are now the character of God, now you can start seeing instant things happen. Instant. You don't have to wait 10 years. You don't have to wait 2 years. Sometimes it's just today you pray, tomorrow it happens. Even it happens before you pray. But first of all, God has to test your faith and build that character of long-suffering and patience, so that through faith and patience, you obtain promises. So what does that mean as we conclude? It means when we have manifested that character of God called patience or long-suffering simply means if God said something to me or God asked me to pray about something, I don't have to question that thing because of time. Is already settled in my heart that what God has said or what I'm praying for will happen. And time cannot change my position. That's what the character of patience does. That's why when we are waiting and God is trying us and purifying us, it is because God is working that patience in us. And if we can endure long enough and let God finish that work of patience in us, when things start happening suddenly and instantly, and God has found you faithful, you begin to see breakthroughs from that point going. But the initial waiting, the initial seeking, is where many people faint. Many people give up and they become weary and they never endure until that first major breakthrough or that first major miracle they waited for a long time comes to pass. They begin to abort it with complaining, with murmuring, with the unfaithfulness of God. They begin to distort the character of an infallible God because of time and the weariness of waiting and trusting. They begin to pervert the character of God. That God is no more faithful, his word is no more true, and they abort their promises. So God is looking for people who are willing to know that God is unchangeable. What he did yesterday and what he did tomorrow, he wants to do it now. And now faith is the substance of things we hope for and we believe with God stand until we push it from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. And when that starts happening, God has found the people that can change the situation in a nation. No matter what man has put in place, God has found people that can change it through prayer, situations in families, situations, because that's where the Holy Ghost begins to walk through. So I pray that you will not take for granted the precious, priceless trying of your faith that has producing such endurance and patience in you that you are being qualified to really obtain promises, not just for your life, but on behalf of those people that are looking up to you in this generation. God always wins, and those of faith will always win. We will win. God will win. Let's not look at what we see. Let's not go by what we feel. Let's not go by all this noise we're seeing. Once we pass the test on this altar, suddenly things, God begins to come true. The well, when you dig long enough, they get to the point, the water starts coming, before you know it starts flowing. From that point, you don't have to dig anymore. You just start drinking. So I pray that God has found you faithful, and please stay faithful and stay committed. Very soon, the breakthrough comes. We start enjoying the refreshing from the presence of God. Promises will begin to manifest like rivers flowing from heaven. But now, let's just push until these things begin to happen. Let's not give up. Let's not lose hope. Let's not look in the physical. Let's not be weary in well-doing, because in due season, we all are about to receive a refreshing from heaven. May God continue to strengthen you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.